though we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night. What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Thursday night, March 6th, 2025. You're listening or watching live on the Boiler Breakdown's Facebook page and YouTube channel to a new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb, and our brand new addition to the Boiler Breakdown podcast, our newest co-host, he's no longer a special guest anymore, Aaron Lynch, is also in the house. What's going on, fellas? Aaron, welcome to the Boiler Breakdown pod, group, family, whatever you want to call us. Mischiefs, I don't know.
Thank you. Feels like I'm getting called up finally from, you know, the minors and making a major league debut and not getting sent down ever again.
That's pretty good. But, well, you do a great job. You're passionate about Purdue basketball and football. And we thought, you know, it's easier to do a three-man show than a two-man show. And if one of us is gone, then we don't have to worry about getting a fill-in. And if our other co-host, Andrew, is ever available and wants to join, we'll do a four-man show. So, yeah, it's all good. All good. But for anybody that might be listening or viewing to the Boiler Breakdown for the first time, Aaron, why don't you explain your sports fandom real quick to everybody a little bit?
Yeah, so just like you two, I graduated Purdue, been a Purdue fan majority of my life in regards to football, basketball. Graduated from Cranert, now School Daniel Business in 14. Fandom is White Sox, Colts for pro sports. But definitely I'm a huge golf fan. So do follow our Purdue fellow alums of Shank and Adam Shank and Tyler Duncan on the PGA Tour. Know Adam Shank personally. So
good stuff. And I do remember at one time you were a Michigan State basketball fan. So glad along the way you converted to the good side.
Long, long, long ago.
And you were also a diehard Indiana Pacers fan and NBA fan at one time, too.
Yes, I'll watch them from now and time to time, but the league has changed a lot.
Yeah, it, for the worse, for the worse, I think a lot of people would say. But Webby, how you doing? You got Purdue the dub Friday night in Mackey Arena against
Thursday.
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know what day it is anymore.
Yeah. Two different or very different feelings in Mackey for both games. Friday against UCLA just kind of felt like just a lot of anxiousness, with rightfully so, being coming off a four-game losing streak. You could just feel the, especially once Purdue kind of once again kind of let a double-digit lead slip away in the first, it was the first half. Yeah, the first half, they kind of let it go. Versus, you know, Tuesday night, you know, once Purdue kind of got rolling, the Mackey, you can tell, just kind of breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, no doubt. It was interesting. That was the first time Purdue's beat UCLA since like 1956. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize Purdue and UCLA had played against each other eight times since then. I went to the most previous matchup before Friday nights, which was back in 2000. That was during a me and my grandfather went, and it was during a Christmas break. It was a Christmas break game, and it was while everybody was out in Pasadena getting ready for the Rose Bowl. We lost to Steve Lavin coached UCLA team with their best player was Jason Capono.
Wow.
Sharpshooter in the league.
Yeah. They also had another guy named Flowers, I think, that played a little bit in the league, and then a center that had a foreign last name that wore 00. I think he also played in the league. So I think it was a decent little UCLA squad. Now it was one of the KD years that Purdue wasn't very good that year. The post-Elite Eight season, I guess. Season pulling up that. But yeah, always cool to have a school like UCLA come in. Rick Mount was in the house, which is not nice to get a victory in front of him. Unlike 2016 Iowa game.
Was that the first time he'd been back, like
since his son was at Purdue at least?
Yeah, which that was kind of the, part of the reason for the whole kind of bitterness between the two. Yeah, I doubt I'm not sure how many more games he'll come to. I mean, he's getting up there in age, and
yep.
Sounds like he enjoys kind of watching from home, which I don't blame him on that. It was cool to have him in the house. The place was rocking when Purdue kind of went on their little run. Got dice there, but I mean, UCLA is a good team, and it was going to be tough. I mean, it was nice to see the my bold prediction being right of Purdue getting less than or getting single digit turnovers. Yeah, close. Got 9. Almost blew it there at the end. But to kind of bounce back after all that, you could tell their communication was better. Their body language was exponentially better than what we had seen over the last 4 games. So I think, you know, as cliche as it is, I think the players only meeting actually had some positive. I mean, you know, if that's truly it. I mean, they also had, you know, almost a week off to get ready for that game after losing at IU, you know, on Sunday. So they had, I assume they probably got Monday and Tuesday off maybe. We can tell they just seemed a lot more fresh, and just overall, just they looked way better.
Well, what you and I were talking about last week, the communication was definitely better, but footwork also. Mm-hmm. I was watching that on regards to defense, and I was like, "All right, yeah, maybe there was a little bit of this that needed to be cleaned up."
Yeah, Trey had a couple of things where he they would try those lobs, and he was able to get up and at least tip it just to disrupt it, which I thought we hadn't really seen. At all, from at least definitely in that 4-game skid, so that was nice to see, and nice to see some guys hit some shots finally and get some other guys going.
I thought the biggest thing was the turnaround rebounding in the second half. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just showing Purdue on the boards the first half, but in the second half, Purdue got after it. And shout out to Cam Heidi getting 9 boards. Those are the things you got to do, especially if your shots aren't falling, which he made a couple.
Hit one at the end, it was a big one. It kind of kill shot. So it was the only one he hit, but it was still, I mean, that was a big moment. So
it's nice to see Miles Colvin starting to get some confidence in his jump shot the last few games, which really started at Indiana. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was huge. TKR and Braden were awesome Friday night, and then awesome again Tuesday. Well, TKR kind of took a step back for Fletcher and Braden's hot shooting, but he played well too. So yeah, that's Feeling a lot better than I was a week ago at this point. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Definitely could have went in thinking 0-3 out of this. Now, 2-0 with one more game to play on Friday. Definitely seen some things that we haven't seen, especially defensive rebounding on Tuesday. So definitely hearing Painter talk today in regards to the improvement in that and rotating on defense and not having to communicate and come off traps and being in positions to have those defensive rebounds since we're not physical enough under the glass. Definitely saw that on probably the second half of UCLA and definitely Tuesday night against Rutgers.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a comment here from Cameron Day. Chris Beard to IU, Little Rock, Arkansas 2.0.
Nah.
Painter's beat Beard the last 2 times he went head to head against him.
Ole Miss, one of the times Texas Tech beat him when they were without Haas. So
yes,
to that one. But I don't think he's going to be their pick.
I don't know who it's going to be. I asked in my phone book. I have one guy who I thought might kind of be more in the know than others, and I asked him. He said, "I don't know who it's going to be," but he goes, "I can tell you a few names that won't be." He said, "Brad Stevens, Scott Drew, no." So.
Scott Drew, no, really.
Yes.
Okay. I think Nate Oates has turned him down to at least behind the scenes. Is what I've read.
Can I ask you both? Because I saw this on a national media conversation. How odds it going to look for them to somehow, if they get a good draw and get to the Sweet 16, and they force Woody out?
That's exactly what I said on my other podcast Monday night. I said, "Yes, our buddy Josh." I'm like, if they get hot, they got to get in the tournament first off.
Yep.
If they get
Which right now they probably are.
They're in.
It happened to get on 3 has them out, but most bracketology has them out. If they happen to get in and say they do make a little run, like the Sweet 16, how weird is that going to look when you're outing a coach making the tournament 3 out of 4 years
and makes it, which you haven't done since 2016?
Yeah.
I mean, but and my buddy's like, I think you're too far in. I still think you got to push them out the door. I'm like, maybe they should have just kind of waited, but.
Whatever. Well, I think part of it, not to make this the Indiana podcast, but I think part of their turnaround was the fact that they announced. I think part of what Woody did was once they kind of made the announcement and it was public, it was like, all right, screw it. I'm done with the politics of playing the guys who are, you know, the highest on the payroll. He's going to play the guys, which it's no surprise that we've seen guys like Luke Goody, Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway play the most minutes, especially against in the Purdue game. You know, shocker, guys from the state took that game a little more seriously than a guy who essentially committed prior to even stepping foot on campus. So it's no surprise. I think that definitely plays part of it into it. And just think, just you see it with a lot of these, you know, rent-a-player teams where they start to play better at the end of the year. It's just how good were they previously to where are they trying to save their season in the last 2 weeks, or are they, you know, just building on something?
Steve Tater Swingle here on YouTube. McDermott is my dark horse pick to be the next IU coach. He'd be pretty solid, I think.
Mm-hmm. He'd be solid, yeah. I don't know how old he is, though. Still, he'd be a good one.
What's his first name? I forget.
Greg.
It's not Doug. Greg.
It's Greg.
McDermott. He's only 60.
Oh, okay.
And he only makes a little north of $1.3 million a year.
Yeah.
I think he'd make a lot more at Indiana. Man, Creighton's been pretty good. I think that dude deserves more money than that. But
I know.
Do you want to leave? Where is Creighton in Nebraska?
Omaha.
Omaha. That's a bigger town than Bloomington.
Yeah. True.
I mean, and this with all these coaches, you kind of see it in football too. Like, you wonder, and just in today's age, with the transfer portal and being able to get guys, I mean, unless you're in like a mid-major or lower level, you know, someone like, trying to think of, you know, like Drake's coach has been a name that I've seen floated out there. But like some of these guys, you look at like a Nate Oates, or I mean, it's, I don't want to say guys are on like top 10 teams already, but like some of these guys, like maybe even McDermott, like, is it worth it you've got a good thing going, like,
right? Grass isn't always greener on the other side. Grass isn't always
greener. Yeah, it's like we've talked about. I mean, who was the last coach? I mean, I guess Woody's gonna be the last coach. I mean, he's not gonna be fired, but he essentially is pushed out the door. But it's like, when's the last coach that retired on their own terms?
Like way back in the day.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Retired. I mean, when we think Tony Bennett and Jay Wright.
Right. Yeah. Jay Wright, Tony Bennett, assistant coach, Brad Stevens, assistant coach, digging up John Wooden for player development. Yeah.
Digging up Bobby for multiple
reasons. I think Cronin would leave, though.
I do too. Yeah, IU would give McDermott more resources. They got the resources. Absolutely.
I mean, he had a really good team a couple years ago and still couldn't do it. I mean, he had one of the best centers in the country that wasn't named Zach Edey. He had awesome guards. So, I mean.
Even when he had his son was pretty dominant.
So yeah.
Kind of more one man show then, but.
And you wonder if some of these guys like not being, you know, in a fishbowl like that, where it's like. Yeah. You've heard things about like Dusty. I've heard things about Dusty. Like he likes the fact that he's at a school that's not dominated by basketball, because you know, you can kind of fly under the radar,
sure,
and it's not the biggest deal. Whereas like, your chances are going to be out in 4 years.
Yeah. New Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame,
Bama, Auburn,
USC. Mm-hmm. Most of the SEC schools outside Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say Florida.
There's a lot more of those than I would say on the flip side, where it's basketball only.
Yeah.
But, Maybe they should give Doug Gottlieb a call. He's doing some great things.
What an idiot he is. He's such an idiot.
They've got a good media school for his podcast, so there you go. Because of Creighton Studios.
The fact he was down on Media Row during the Super Bowl, during the season, tells you everything you need to know. Yeah. What are you doing?
I think he'd be a perfect fit. This being Purdue podcast as their coach.
Hide your credit cards, everybody.
Yeah.
Him and McAfee would be great together.
Oh, boy. But back to Purdue.
Yeah.
UCLA. Nice little rabbit hole down there. Thanks, Cameron. I watched the UCLA game, the Rutgers game. I listened to a majority of it on the radio. Mm-hmm. Got to watch the last 9 or 10 minutes or so, which was really nice when the game was already decided. And just watch watched Caleb first last few minutes as in his last home game. And man, Waddell, man, I say it a lot, but name me a better 10th or 11th man in the country than that guy.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. It just sucks given, you know, his injury.
It does.
It was his freshman year, right?
ACL. Yep. Yeah. Freshman year. Supposedly, like, according to Brian Newbert, that summer or during fall, I don't know, whenever
it was, summer.
The scouts were like, who's this kid?
Yeah. I think it was over CJ Gunn. He had a posterizing dunk in the state finals against Lawrence North
for Carmel.
It sucks. Yeah. Cause I mean, especially
he's got some skill, you can tell
he does. Obviously he's very smart. His dad was a hell of a player. It sucks, you know, seeing a former player like kid not getting the run, but it kind of just, it is what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah. Do you think he stays around another year?
No,
I don't. I mean, even this is that little example right there is on enough tape for a Toledo or something.
He can go to Butler.
Butler needs to go back to Horizon Lake.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, and I don't want to get into like personalized, but I know he was dating a volleyball player who transferred, who is right now at Kentucky or Louisville, one of the two. So it's like, you know, is there a reason to, you know, that's, you know, yeah, if they are still together, like, it, that's not keeping them there. I mean, obviously, like, you know, he probably loves Purdue and all that, but you get to a point. I mean, depending on, obviously we don't know other roster makeup, but, you know, with the guys in front of them, assuming those guys are back, like, I just don't see it, unfortunately.
Yep.
So, you know, it all depends on, you know, like, he could be the Anthony Leal type guy where he just sticks around because he just, you know, that's his dream and that's his love. And then maybe gets a shot, you know, his senior year to be a little douchebag. I don't know.
I did see the other day, or my dad told me this the other day. He was looking at all the stats of all the Purdue guys that left Purdue and are still playing. Chase Martin's leading all of them in points per game.
Speaking of Steve's comment there, I actually didn't even think about this. He said Waddell should go play for Konzo at Missouri State. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't want to talk about guys leaving before the season's over.
I mean, this is still high level basketball. Maybe even Shrewsbury would take him. I mean, my Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My name's so bad right now. I know they got a good class coming in, but.
Yeah, but just having some older
leadership. Yeah.
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 When he was a freshman, was Shrewsbury still here, or did he leave for Penn State at that time?
He was still here.
So it was his sophomore. It was his redshirt freshman year that Shrewsbury left, correct?
I thought he was at Penn State 2 years, and this is the second year at Notre Dame.
That's what I thought, too.
You're right. Yeah. So, I forgot.
But he's still probably familiar with him. I mean,
Shrewsbury recruited him.
I totally forgot that Shrewsbury was there. At first, I thought he was at Penn State for a year. It was like a flash in the pan, but I forgot he was there for 2 years.
I wonder if he regrets leaving. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hard telling. But, Boilers got a tough one tomorrow night, 8:00 on Fox, traveling to Champaign, the shortest drive for Purdue for any Big Ten foe. This is a good series going back. Illinois' website actually does have the whole series. Purdue leads the series 107-90. Purdue's on a 5-game winning streak in the series.
Crazy.
It all started back in 21-22 with a fantastic 96-88 double overtime win on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Since then, Purdue won 84-68 in Mackey later that year, 76-71 in West Lafayette in 22-23, their lone matchup that year.
It was a classic Illinois game where Purdue got up like 20 points, and then like Illinois had done that all year. They get down 20, and then they come storming back and make it a game. And
did same thing last year in January in Mackey. Purdue won 83-78, and then a classic in Champaign last year to clinch the outright Big Ten title. The section of year 77-71, and Braden with the ice in his veins. Illinois' last win in the series was January 2nd, 2021, 66-58 in Champaign. They actually swept, and they beat Purdue the year before in 1920, 79-62. And then the year before that, 1920 in Champaign was 63-37. I tried to put that game out of my memory. But Purdue's had a lot of good luck against the Illini dating back to 2014-ish. Illinois had quite the run from 09 through 2013. But usually it's a pretty good game. It's good, usually a good physical matchup. Yeah, Illinois's got to be out for blood. Let's put it that way. Only time they face Purdue this year, it's senior night. Big Ten, for whatever reason, likes to put these two. I mean, this is now 3 years in a row they play in March.
Oh, Friday? Oh, in March, yeah. In March.
Yeah, it was March 5th the last 2 years, actually, March 7th. So.
And Steve got another comment here, which appreciate you, Steve, chiming in. It is. I just checked it. It is not Illinois spring break. Their spring break is like on the 15th, yeah. But I'm pretty sure Michigan, I think they're on. Are they on trimesters? I think they're – for sure I thought their academic calendar was different and weird.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah, because I watched part of that Maryland-Michigan game, and that place was dead.
The one time we need Michigan to help us. Thanks, Michigan.
Yeah.
But, Webby, you want to go over the scenarios for Purdue to keep their Big Ten tournament double bye streak alive?
Let me pull up, which I think I saw the guy who made this. I'm using the Big Ten. It's MRED's Big Ten men's basketball tournament generator. And I think there was a mistake in terms of, like, tiebreakers. But
come on, MRED. What are we doing?
So, assuming Purdue wins, let's just assume, Purdue wins, Wisconsin wins, and Maryland wins. According to this website, Purdue would be the 3 seed, which I don't know. I think this is where it actually is wrong, because it has the way that this based off of, like, if all those teams won, it had Michigan State 1, Maryland 2, Purdue 3, Michigan 4, Wisconsin 5. But I don't know, because Purdue, Michigan, and Wisconsin would all be tied at 14 and 6. Wisconsin would get the tiebreaker over Purdue, so that's, I think, where this is wrong. But I don't know what Wisconsin did against Michigan this year. I know Michigan won at Wisconsin early in the year.
I don't know if they played again, did they?
I don't think. Let's see here.
Stupid 18-team conference schedule.
Yeah. let's see here. I'm looking for Wisconsin. No, they were one of the, it was a December game. Was Michigan won by 3 in Wisconsin. So I think Michigan would get the tiebreaker over Wisconsin, but I don't know what happened with Purdue and Michigan since they split.
Would it be head-to-head matchups that they had, though, with other Big Ten opponents?
Because this is what this says. This website says is Purdue with Michigan above Wisconsin, below Maryland, based on round-robin record of 2-2. Above Michigan, based on winning percentage against number 8 team, Illinois, 1-0, which Michigan lost their only matchup to Illinois. So
basically, the easiest thing, we need to win and have one of those teams lose.
Correct. So, I mean, you got Wisconsin is home against Penn State. Maryland's home against Western. I don't see. Michigan is, which Michigan probably will lose. They're at Michigan State.
Yeah, they're at Michigan State.
So we need one of Wisconsin and or Maryland.
Who's Maryland got? Iowa?
Northwestern.
Oh, Northwestern.
So, I mean, and then I think if, I just changed the Penn State to win at Wisconsin, and based off that, Purdue would actually get the 2 seed because they would be above Maryland, because they'd be tied with Maryland and they had a tiebreaker on that one. I don't know.
If we win, the worst we could be is a 5 seed. We wouldn't get the double bye, but we'd be a 5.
Yeah, I think, let me see if I can find it on Twitter, but I think I saw something like there's like a chance for like Purdue between, 2 and 6.
Oh. Well, 6 would be if we lose.
We'll lose.
Yeah.
We have 7 losses at that point. Yeah. Has the Big Ten not announced this? Like this is kind of surprising. Where last week, the regular season, like football, they didn't announce like what the actual tie-breaking scenario would be for double byes.
They might have. I haven't watched Big Ten tournament. I haven't watched Big Ten Network in months. Besides what Purdue's played.
Well, I would think I'll look it up because they would have to have it for the women's. And the women's tournament's going on right now.
Which Purdue's not in. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
She might be out. Katie Gerald might be out the door.
They gave her they gave her a vote of confidence for another year.
This past week?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was where the cheese was returning. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully she turns around. I just don't have much faith.
If going back to the, like, if Wisconsin and Maryland both win, Purdue loses, Purdue would be the 5 seed. I think the chances of Purdue being a 5 seed are pretty strong.
That'd be a Thursday night game. It'd be an easier matchup.
Yeah. If, like, based off that, we would be playing the winner of – okay, I did this assuming Nebraska beats Iowa at home, UCLA beats USC. I'm assuming Indiana beats Ohio State, Maryland beats Northwestern, Wisconsin beats Penn State, Michigan State beats Michigan, Oregon goes into Washington, wins on the road, and then Iowa loses to Michigan State tonight. Purdue would be the 5 seed playing the winner of Northwestern, Nebraska, and then playing 4 seed Wisconsin if we won.
I'd like that, to be honest. I want to keep the double bye streak going just because I think it's really cool accomplishment, but that would, I'd take any of those matchups in Indianapolis. I'd love a rematch.
Honestly, out of the top four, if the top four here was Michigan State, Maryland, Michigan, Wisconsin, give me everybody except Maryland.
No, I agree. Yeah, Maryland's kind of a nightmare. Purdue got them at the right time.
Yeah.
Nightmare matchup.
Here's the tiebreaker, and Evan, I don't know if this is what you're looking at. So they first look at their records amongst the group. Each is 3-1. Each 3 is 1-1 against the other two, which this would move to the next tiebreaker, which compares the record by winning percentage of the group against the top seeded team and continues down until the single team gains an advantage. I just found it. Well, so we'd lose. Yeah. So you started the top. We lost against Michigan State. We're 0-1.
Yep.
What?
Maryland lost to Michigan State. Michigan lost to Michigan State.
They could, I got be a headache.
And Michigan would be 0-2. Michigan
could be 0-2. So Michigan would be the 5 seed because they would.
Okay. Have, I see what you mean. Okay.
So we would be the 4.
But then we'd go to Maryland, right? Yeah. Trying to figure out between Maryland, Wisconsin, and Purdue if they all have the same record.
Yeah, because they would go there. Yep. From there, and then Wisconsin against Maryland.
In the words of Tanner's hero, Al Davis, just win, baby.
Oh, God. But, yes, just win the damn game, please.
We just need Steve Kornacki tonight for this one.
Oh, man, that's a lot of
– seriously, he should actually, like – someone should – I'm surprised someone hasn't, like, you know, hired him, like, just as, like, a – just for, like, this time of year. Because it would be hilarious. I would watch that all day to have him just go through.
Let's park that for next year. Maybe I can do it.
Yeah.
I'll bring the whiteboard out.
Yeah.
We're going to need that during football season, Lynch.
Yeah.
To drop some plays. Break down some film.
Getting the boys under center.
Yes. Hey, spring ball's underway. Crazy. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one tomorrow night, but I'm not going to wood here. Purdue's undefeated in Friday night games this year. So,
I think they played the most along with UCLA in like 8 or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
Friday night games. It's been a
barely
lot.
Played any Saturdays. That's out the window.
It's probably because Fox likes it. I mean,
they wanted that. You know, Purdue was back to back Big Ten champs and preseason pick and got the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year and probably will ultimately probably be the Big Ten Player of the Year. And hell, they might have two. They should have two first team All Big Ten players. I mean, that they'll have a ton of primetime games next year too.
And everybody stays. Do you want to do, because by the time we record next week, the awards will probably be announced. Do you want to do our we're all in agreement that Braden should be player of the year. I know it's going to be a lot. Yep. I already hear the backlash of, especially if we're like a 5 seed, is like, but I mean,
look at the stuff he's done. I mean, look at his stats and all his accomplishments.
We'd be a middle of the road team without him. Not
exactly. I was going to say, yeah. I mean, I think the only other guys that's consideration is Tanji. And
if you look at their stats, he puts more points than Braden, but Braden averages. I think they're way more rebounds, way more steals. Yeah. I think more steals, way more assists, and less turnovers.
Yep.
He was definitely making a case for a while. Michigan State doesn't have a a single guy that's like that stands out. Like they're kind of just a collective group, obviously very good. Maryland, I mean, they've had some, I just feel like no one's been consistent enough for them. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it's Braden and Tanji for sure. Mm-hmm. Then you're getting into guys who are like 6th, 7th, 8th seed, and which is already stretched. But I think, I mean, I think Trey Kaufman should probably be third.
I on this podcast, if I would have been on the podcast last week, I was going to try to make a case for Trey being Big Ten player of the year. Which, yeah, I still think he's up there though in the top three. He's skilled offensive player, man.
But Braden plays both sides of the ball. That's correct. The biggest thing. If mm-hmm. Trey did and was a shot blocking presence or was mm-hmm. disrupting the pass,
or line, was a better rebounder, he doesn't rebound.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would easily make the case he's over Braden.
Yeah, his footwork's. Man, he might have better footwork than Trayvon Williams, and that's saying something.
That's saying something, yeah.
Great, great footwork. He doesn't pass like Trey.
No.
He tries sometimes.
Yeah.
If he can add to that his arsenal next year, him and Braden moving that ball, there's going to be an open shooter just standing out there.
Yeah. Or I love the comments the other night about Fletcher shooting so many threes. Everybody's like, he should shoot that many every game. I'm like, nobody else plays defense like Rutgers.
So, right. Yeah. I mean, Hubert was saying in his, I think it was the Wednesday night basketball chat or something. He's like, Rutgers of old, like, they would have, you know, thrown a chair at somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than let them shoot an open three.
I understand why they went and got Harper and Bailey. The two guys are studs. Don't get me wrong, but it shows what can happen when you go hunting. NIL and stuff, it can backfire. I mean, they lost a lot of core guys to other places that knew how to win there. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it back.
I bet they might. It's going to take some time. It's not going to be like, it's probably like what Painter was in the early teens. And they're going to get, he's going to have a leash there. And
you think he should. I love Pykal.
I mean, and him. Say what you want, but when you say, like, I sent 2 top 5 picks to the NBA draft, that's a recruiting chip for going to get your kind of guys.
Yeah. Sure.
Especially, like, in that part of the country, too. Like, there's a lot of
– that school.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a ton of basketball talent out that way.
Old
he's even got – even prior to that, like he had – the kid he ended up going to – I think he went to Nebraska, Gavin Griffiths. Like, he was a 4-star. And then he just transferred. It's interesting. I mean, it was cool to see those guys. Like I saw Bailey in person when I went through the game at IU and he put up 39. but Harper didn't play in the game, so it was cool to see Harper, even though he didn't really do much, thankfully. But it was cool to see like 2 guys who are definitely gonna be in the top 5 in the draft in a couple months. Bailey had that nice wraparound. That was sweet.
It was funny on the radio. Blackman's calling that one was funny.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, Bailey, he's a specimen, 6'10", but just has, I mean, is he, I mean, Lynch, I know you watch the NBA more than we have, but is he the closest thing to Kevin Durant we've had?
Yep.
It's Kevin Durant.
I actually think he's more athletic than what KD was at that age.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I think he could actually play the 2 guard and just be dominant because he's going to be, his length would be unbelievable. And I understand the NBA is now completely positionless at this point.
Chucking threes.
I don't think he has to chuck threes. I think he can get to the rim easily because there's going to be so much space at this.
Harper, he's big.
He is.
That was my worry going into the game because of his size. I was like, I knew Braden was going to guard him. I figured it was going to be CJ just because CJ's been guarding, you know, the better guard, and also they still want to get Braden in foul trouble. But I forgot how big Harper was, and I saw him. I was like, my God, he was huge.
Seeing this comment from Steve, if Pike can muster up the NIL, get Bailey and Harper, they should just use that money to get 4 or 5 guys, low 4-star and 3 high-star range. Yeah, I would kind of agree. This fit culture. I mean, we've seen it. I would say both in this NIL era, culture in regards to your programs, football, basketball, whatever it is, baseball is going to win out because you're going to have players adapt because it is team sports. Yeah. It's not golf.
I'm not surprised Harper went there because obviously his brother was there. I know he was down to Duke like Indiana and some other schools, but I was at Bailey committed first. And I was really surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm curious because he's not from that area. He's from Tennessee and played basketball down in Georgia. So I'm curious to see how that came about. He's a good player. But yeah.
It's really just sipping on the coaching staff. I mean, Pike will probably, and one of his assistant coaches probably communicated to him. I mean, Harper's going to be one heck of a defensive guard in the league. That's for sure.
His dad was pretty good defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So, yep. Yep. I don't want to see any more Harpers in the Big Ten. Just stay away. Stay away. Except this one wasn't a Purdue killer like his brother.
So. No.
Yeah.
And this one's going to be one and done.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Who's on your first team, all Big Ten, if you had to? This is where it gets tough.
Yeah.
Okay, when you look at first team, do you think it should be like just the five best players, or should it be like a point guard, a shooting guard, small forward, power forward, you know, something like that in center? Or should it just be like, would you put like, I mean, there's the one year, you know, the Big Ten had, you know, Kofi, Travion, Edie,
yeah,
Trace Jackson Davis, Dickinson. You could have made the top five could have all been big guys, but they didn't.
I think you throw positions out the window, but I know they don't always do that.
I think they need to at this point in moving forward and just name the five best players.
Yeah.
Go down.
So who would you pick?
You got Tanji, Coffin, Renz, Braden.
Yeah.
Easily those are your top three.
Yeah. I feel you have to put somebody from Michigan State. I just don't know who. I mean, would you put
Hallman? That's maybe the only one I can sit here.
Yeah. I mean, Jace Richardson hasn't done enough long enough to earn him. He'll do enough to definitely be first team all freshman. Is there even more than one freshman team, or is it just?
No, it's just one freshman team.
Okay, he'll be all freshman team easily, or he should be. I don't know who else you throw. I mean, you could look at
Golden, maybe Golden or Wolf.
Yeah. Mm. You could obviously look at Maryland. I mean, they've had you got Queen, who's going to be on the freshman team. You've got Rice. You've got
Rice. I could see Rice.
Who's the other guy?
I mean, Rice has been the most consistent on that team. I'd almost want to let the high. I mean, Queen has won them games.
Yeah.
I mean, then it's interesting because, like,
I'm thinking of Gillespie's another one.
Like, then there's that. I think this guy's more second team. I can't think of his name. There's that dude from Nebraska that's been balling out lately.
Oh, Bryce Williams.
Williams. Yeah.
Which
it gets tough because, like, I don't know. These lists are so weird because, he's playing to where he probably deserves it. But since he plays for Nebraska and they might not even make the tournament, will they do that, you know? And you can make a case, not a first-team case, but Dawson Garcia. Minnesota's been playing pretty good last month. I don't know.
I mean, even like, look at Illinois. I mean, Jakachonis has played really well for most of the year for the most
part. I feel like he got tons of hype early on, and it's like died off.
Once they started losing, his stats kind of plummeted a little bit.
How about the dude from Oregon?
Biddle. Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
Kind of a log jam there for second and third team. Yeah. I feel like kind of.
Guys like Bala have played pretty well most of the year. Like, he's put up a lot, you know, good numbers. Obviously, they haven't won. It's going to be interesting because I feel like in years past, there's been a pretty clear cut. Like,
right.
You could easily pick five guys. So I think this year,
it's probably the new way with 18 teams.
Yes, do you think Fletcher makes a second or third team?
Wolf had the most assists last night for Maryland. no, I don't think he does. Does he deserve it? Yeah, at least third team. I don't think he makes
13. Not this deep of a conference anymore. No.
I just don't think he gets the respect he deserves.
Not going to take the Fletch slander. I am.
Which is fine. If that pisses him off and fires it up, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Come back and prove us all wrong next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely added elements to his game this year that he didn't have next year. I look for him to take even another step forward next year.
I think Braden should be all defensive team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think? I don't think they will, just because it's so stacked. I don't think CJ makes all freshmen, just because you've got
no
Queen, Harper, Bailey. You've got, Jace Richardson.
Yeah, no
shot.
No. I think he and Jakari will make some teams before they graduate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They played well the other night, both of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Coach of the Year is right.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. You can make a case. I think you make a case for guard, and you make a case for Willard.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are making a case for Dusty May, but I think that's died off.
I think it died off last night.
Yeah. Heck, you know, I actually think deserves it. He won't. Chris Collins. He's proved to me he can really coach this year with all the injuries they've had, but he won't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, same with Ben Johnson. I love Ben Johnson.
But, hell of a job since the middle of January.
In January, they look like they were going to not win another game.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
going together some good true. Wins.
Very true.
I guess who's your, just looking back, who's the biggest surprise to you in the Big Ten from a team standpoint, and who's the biggest disappointment?
Wisconsin's biggest surprise. I think I had them 11th in my preseason predictions. They do it every year. I don't know why. I always write them off, especially when they're going to get 26-year-olds to play. Yeah. disappointment. I'm not mad about Indiana. I mean, there's no excuse. They should be fighting for the bubble this week. They should, with that talent, they should have been in
a long time. I mean, they were preseason second. Some people had them winning the leagues, and a lot of people had them second, if not third. Yep. Yeah.
It started off the year 17th, right? Ranked.
Yeah, they're ranked, yeah. And then they got blown out by Louisville, and that's what kind of started it. My surprise, I don't know. I lean towards Michigan State. I think it's just because they haven't been the same since 2019, probably.
I still don't think this is even within Izzo's top five teams he's had.
No.
Oh, no.
But they're more like those teams than the last five.
He finally adjusted to the portal and NIL. That's the biggest thing. Because I didn't think he was, and I thought this was just going to be
just crazy.
Step out the door.
Michigan State's got the guys to back the NIL, which is nuts. I mean, the owner of the Suns, right? He's the guy. You got Magic Johnson. Yeah. You got Magic White Johnson Sox. Now.
I mean, what are you talking about? They've always run a clean ship up there, right, Michigan State, in all athletics, everything they do. What are you talking?
Definitely was not compensated.
Not at all. Not at all. Jaren Jackson. Matt follows him over to freaking France, and Izzo comes in one time for a visit. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I wonder if Imani Bates is sending
Piss me that. Off, man.
What wonder if Imani Bates is still inside that program.
Speaking of Michigan State, they're down 13-19 with 11 to go in the first half at Iowa.
That'd be funny.
Sending Fran off good.
Yeah, they've clinched at least a share, right?
Fran should get kicked out for old time's sake. Just blow up. Just get his head all red. One more time.
Well, so he said in his last press conference that he says he's back next year because he's got a good class coming in, all that kind of stuff. And going to Steve's comment here, I cannot believe they're winning. The conference being this bad of a shooting team that they are.
They don't turn it over much. They rebound.
Yep. I mean, when they beat Illinois in East Lansing, I think I was wanting Michigan State to win that game. At the time, I was like, Illinois is Purdue's biggest threat for the Big Ten. Now I'm kicking myself for cheering for Michigan State that game. So I just like, there's no way this team gets that many wins with shooting this poorly or even gets to, I was like, they're going to be, I'm not even sure I'll even have them getting out of the first round in the tournament. Right. I'm like, do I have them go to Sweet 16? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they do things really well.
They do the little things very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow night.
Who's your freshman of the year in the Big Ten?
I want to say Yakachonis.
I'll go Bailey.
Yeah. I'm looking at the best teams, Derek Queen. He's played really well as of late. He's played well all year. But, you can't go wrong with either one of those three guys. So,
I think they're all going to be top 10 picks for sure in June's draft.
Yeah. I mean, assuming Flag goes, which the thought, even like the fact they're like the talks of him potentially coming back has gotten this far without it being debunked is hilarious.
Are they going to pay him $30 million?
I bet they back him Brinks truck.
They've got, like, they got it. Like, that's the stupid thing.
Well, I mean, here's the thing now. I wonder, what, based on the lottery, does he, well, he would have,
I mean, like, yeah, like, it's like, if, I mean, who, like, would he want to go to the Wizards? Would you?
No.
No, exactly. Like, I mean, in, again, getting to, like,
Wizards are the worst franchise in pro sports.
Yeah, like,
nobody gives a shit about them.
Sliminess, like, I mean, does Nike, with, you know, Duke is Nike's golden child, like, does Nike do something to keep him at Duke just for the, just because, if Duke went to him and said, hey, we want to keep, you know, Flags will come back, if this, like, does Nike do something on the table of, like, sweetening the deal?
Yeah.
Some
signature shoe, something like that.
Something stupid, which, again, going back to the game, the Rutgers game, I was telling my dad, it's crazy, because this is the first time I've seen it. You know, Rutgers is an Adidas school, but both Bailey and Harper have Nike deals, so they're wearing Nike shoes.
Yeah, wow. That is nuts. Wow.
For an Adidas apparel school, which is, if, at least for my record, it's the first time we've seen that.
Yeah. Like,
this day and age, which is crazy. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's Flagg, then probably Bailey, Harper, Jakachonis. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean,
it's probably some foreign player we don't know about.
No, not this draft.
Call Fran Fraschilla. He'll let you know.
No, not this draft. There's too much top tier talent already here. I mean, Jakachonis would be the one probably, but I mean,
Anthony Leal. There you go. There you go.
So I this is going to be interesting in regards to if it's the Wizards, I wouldn't want to go.
Right,
but also.
I mean, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I'm just throwing this out to you guys. Can you name, like, a top five list of greatest Wizards ever? I can't even think of five.
Gilbert Arenas.
Agent Zero.
Bradley Beal.
Kwame Brown.
Yeah, Michael Jordan. Bradley Beal.
Kuzma, did he play for them?
Larry Hughes.
Larry Hughes. I mean, George Marison. He was 7'7". I mean, like.
Who's
like, Bull Bull? Manute Bull.
There you go.
When they were the Bullets, yeah.
I don't know. The NBA wants it because the DC market, but
terrible.
I mean,
God.
But if you can pay Flag one more year and you're not putting on, you're not playing 82 games.
Yeah.
You're not going to play 82 games because of load management.
You get to be in college.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you got to go to class. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah, it's all online.
Yeah.
Well, true, but Duke maybe.
It's just not, go up the road to
maybe, I mean, Duke
to UNC and follow their lead of
fake. I was gonna say LSU, but I don't know. I mean, the other thing is, like, look, the other teams, like a Falcons Hawks thing could happen again in regards to make the play in and get the number one pick. I know, Evan, you would love this, but would I want to go play for Jerry? No.
Oh, God. No.
Exactly. You'll never see a second contract.
Yeah. So, I guess, when is the lottery before or after players have to announce if they're staying in?
So it's during, like, the combine. Because remember that scouting combine? Like, yes.
Okay.
Because the combine happens. It's like during the second round of the NBA playoffs, which start in April. So then you have the combine there in May, because, like, I'm guessing Braden's going to go try the combine because he can come back.
Yeah.
He should at this point. Just show up. Yeah. He definitely needs to, and probably Coffin Red needs to as well at this point as well.
I mean, at this point, like, why not? Like,
you got two more years left. You only have two more this year and next year. So you have to.
Free advice. Like, I mean, people talk crap about guys doing it, but it's like, why would you not go and get, if that is your dream, why not go get, feedback that, if, you know, it makes so much sense.
Yes. So they'll go there. They'll know what the lottery, but the balls drop. And then after the finals in June is when the draft will be. So they could pull their name out. Tanner, it's the end of May, right? It's usually the end of May. They
can pull their name out.
Because it coincides with the last transfer portal.
We'll see who Adam Silver, which ping pong balls a little colder than the rest.
A little heavier, yeah.
Yeah.
Or a little lighter or whatever.
Patrick Ewing all over again.
Yeah.
But I was going to say more like Connor Bedard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was some heavy ping pong balls.
Yeah. Anthony Davis going to the Pelicans when the NBA owned the Pelicans.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Nothing. So yeah. Anyways, there's a game tomorrow.
I do have one comment before we get to the game tomorrow. Berg's rebound, offensive rebound and putback give me flashbacks of Edie last year on Tuesday night. And I wish we had that still on the offensive board with him, but glad he was able to make that play.
I had to laugh because he immediately like fell down on the ground. It's like he was like the most uncoordinated. I was like, I felt so bad for him. I was like, poor guy was probably so amped and just immediately he fell and it looked awkward. I was like, I hope he's okay. I was like, it'd be his luck to do that and just blow out a knee.
Fletcher's ankle, I thought, was his Achilles, and I was like, oh my.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
I was listening on the radio and freaking tune in if you don't pay for it. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever listened to the games, football or basketball, and tune in while you're driving.
Not in a couple of years.
I have football.
I need to find maybe the Varsity Sports Network. I need to find a different way to do it because you're listening and at points it cuts out for advertisements for like 2 minutes. So I knew somebody was like hitting the locker room. I'm like, oh my God, did Braden just like bust his knee or something?
First, then I saw him saying, I was like, oh, thank God. I'm like, oh my God.
And they said it was Fletch and he came back out. And I'm like,
yeah,
freaking
how he was holding it. I literally thought he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, he was grabbing it pretty bad. It was, it was scary for a second.
Even Robbie said on the telecast, he's like, oh my gosh.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and he would know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tomorrow night's game. Let's do our predictions, player of the game, and spicy, bold prediction.
Newbie Aaron, you go first.
Yeah.
Okay. Player of the game. I hate myself. Player of the game is going to be Trey White.
That's the first.
Yeah.
On this podcast. All right.
This is Aaron's first and last time on the board.
Hey,
everybody's booing you right now. Boo!
I just don't think.
I'm like, down the chat.
What they did to Michigan was pretty impressive last week. I'm not going to lie. Brad Underwood does not make second half adjustments. So unless we don't, Painter does. So Underwood, unless he has a game plan that continues to work from start to finish, that's the only way they're going to win. They're second in the nation in rebounding. Yeah. That's a struggle for us.
That's the key. Yep.
Yep. And I think Braden's going to have a hell of a game. It's probably going to be a double-double.
Their fans like to chirp a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to put Boswell on him, and Boswell's a hell of a defender. But also, I mean, I don't know if Boswell defended him when he was at Zona. I don't remember. Was that the game? Kind of was a fun game.
But I just, going back to why I said Trey White is because I don't see a matchup for us, like outside of Heidi, like coming in and playing against him for us. Like having that's why I'd say player of the game. Bold prediction, we still win.
Oh my God.
What's your score prediction?
77-73 Purdue.
I won't be able to
agree.
It's going to be like 2 years ago.
I hate this game.
It's better, though, like for me, last year's game at Illinois, I was with Tanner's. I was my company's based in Missouri, and I was in Missouri for a work thing. And my boss is a massive Illinois fan, and one of my good buddies for the company also is a massive Illinois fan. And like, they're like talking to me about like, oh, we're gonna watch this game. I'm like, I'm not. Have fun. I'm not watching this game with you guys. Like, it ended up being like, so we had like dinner and stuff. And I was watching it with my friend, and he was actually really fun to watch the game because he just loves basketball. We were talking basketball the whole time, and he was a fun person to watch it with. And when Braden hit that shot, I like gave a fist bump at the table, and I look up, and my boss just flips me off from across the room.
That's awesome.
But I hate this game. Rebounds. I think the two biggest thing is can Purdue rebound, and then is Illinois. If Illinois is not hitting threes, I like Purdue's chance a lot.
I still think of them in ISO situations and trading off that that's going to hurt us in the rebounds and trying to.
They can spread us out. They'll spread us out, and you know someone's going to be able to drive. But unless I don't feel confident in this game, I am going Boilers. Obviously, I think a similar score to what Lynch said. I think I'm like 78-72 type thing. Maybe Purdue kind of seals it with some free throws at the end. Player of the game.
Come on, you got to lean my way.
I'm going Purdue if Purdue's winning the game.
You can have a player of the game on the other side.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go Trey. Kaufman Wren, not White.
does Kaufman Wren have a double-double for this being a player game?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, that's a bold prediction. I think he's double-double. I think him, Heidi, and Burst like all have like 7+ rebounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're gonna need to. Like, if we're gonna win this game, so
yeah, I'm going Cam Heidi, my player of the game. I'm feeling like a 12-8 type game out of him.
I didn't give a spicy bowl prediction.
Trey getting double doubles, kind of. So, yeah, Heidi 12-8, score 85-58. No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. I didn't say you'd win, but they're just kidding. No, I think Purdue wins 82-75. I think it's a high scoring game. Bold prediction, Purdue's up double digits at halftime.
Ooh, that would make an uncomfortable second half.
Yeah. Well, speaking of spicy and bold, Lynch, did you get my email earlier?
Yeah, I think we need to pay some bills right now.
Yeah, so this episode need to be initiated.
So the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 1993. Mad Mushroom is located at the heart of West Lafayette and is known for the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever the Boiler Breakdown crew is in town and have an ice cold beer, they try out the latest pizza of the month. This pizza of the month, this is the jalapeno popper, which is spicy, with a house blend jalapeno cream cheese sauce, bacon mozzarella cheese, and finished with ranch drizzle. So whenever you're in town, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you. Use the code BREAK5 for $5 any order off over $20. Mad Mushroom, feed your head.
There you go. Good job, Lynch. Yeah, so go in and get a jalapeno popper. Pizza starting at $14. You can get grinders, wings.
Cheese sticks,
of course, with all the dipping sauces. You can get bacon on the cheese sticks. I used to love to do that. Still love to do that. Haven't done it in a while. That pizza, I could go for that one. That looks good. I like spicy food. Doesn't like me, but I like spicy food. So
yeah, I need some Tums at this point in our lives.
Oh, no kidding. Pop them like candy, man. Webby, where else can we pay some bills? I was gonna say. Oh man,
we have a new sponsor.
I'm not spending.
no new sponsor. No, none of that. Where can we get?
Yeah.
Some sweet looking gear like the shirt you got on.
Yeah, that's at the shop. They've been making hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in Garage. Now they've got 3 retail locations around Indianapolis: one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, one in downtown Indy. Stop in. I mean, they have licenses with all the big Indiana schools minus one up in South Bend that won't be named. They even have one with Ohio State, which was perfect timing for them this past year for football. All things Indiana, this is now kind of ramping up to be like their really big season with the 500 coming up. It's always exciting. They have a ton of new designs coming out. They just came out with a really cool, with the Big Ten tournament being in Indy for both men's and women's, they have a kind of a basketball, centric Indiana shirt. Rest in peace to Gene Hackman, Norman Dale. They've got that was one of their first shirts I ever saw was the Norman Dale basketball camp shirt, which I feel like I need to go buy now. Because that's a pretty sweet shirt. But if you can't make it to Indy, if you're not coming to Indy for the Big Ten tournament next week for the men's, You can go online at theshopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown for 25% off your entire order.
Yeah, I guarantee they'll be your most comfortable shirts you own.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, before we wrap things up, Evan started this 2 weeks ago. A little fun little segment, a blind ranking segment.
And first up, I know you did it in our text thread. Do you want to take some shots at Aaron for his top five last week? Monocles.
I stand by it.
There's a reason why Schoolhouse is no longer in existence.
What?
Schoolhouse doesn't exist anymore. It's not there on campus.
Yeah. What? That wasn't in my top five.
No, but you blasted me for mine.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Anyways, you both, I'm going to list five campus landmarks.
Ooh.
Not sports related. And you tell me your ranking, and it can be just, you know, your favorite. I don't know. Mm. So we are starting with the class of 1939 water sculpture, better known as the Engineering Fountain.
Oof.
First off, did you guys do fountain runs?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I did it after. I did it during BGR. I did it after BGR too. Like,
I did randomly. BGR. Yeah. Ran through that one and the Loeb fountain as well.
Yeah. You can go first, Aaron.
I'm going to say three.
Safe.
I hate doing that.
Yeah, it's so safe.
We need to make a rule in the future where your first one cannot be three.
Yeah.
Because it's such a. It is. But I'm trying to think of what you might have.
Man. I'm scared there's lecture halls on here, so I got to keep them at the lowest low.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'll go.
You got to remember who you're talking to.
I'll go three. Yeah.
All right. I hate it. All right. Gateway to the future. I know Purdue's got two gateways now at campus, but this is the one, the original one.
Yeah.
Original one right off of Stadium Avenue and University Street.
I didn't even think about that one.
I'm going to go two.
All right. Thanks for good pictures.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go four. I like it a lot. I wasn't on that side of campus a whole lot, or when I did live over there, I didn't walk through it. So it meant a lot, but I'm just trying to think what else you might have. So I'm going to go four. I'm regretting it already.
Memorial Mall.
Ooh, two for me. Good one.
Four. Good one. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time. I had classes in university. I had class in recitation. I had class at 1950. In like the warmer months in the springtime.
Yeah.
Walking through Memorial Mall was awesome.
Everybody's out playing frisbee, football, reading, playing with their dog, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also for job, like the interviewing sessions, like job fair. That's, I put it four just because of that, because that brings back.
Walk to the engineering roundtable. Yeah, I remember I went to sidebar. I was told as a sophomore, I think, they're like, oh yeah, even if, because like we had the Craner one, obviously, and they're like, oh, like still go to the roundtable one, like just get some practice. I remember the first place I went to, the guy's like, why are you here? Come tomorrow. I was like, got it. I just left.
But that was advice that they gave. They told us to go there.
I know. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to get some practice. Like, I know, obviously, it's interesting. Like, what are you doing? And you're a sophomore. Like, when I was for sophomores.
All right. Purdue Bell Tower.
Man.
Crap. We have bookends at the. We have one and five left, both of us.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go one. Yeah, I am going to go one.
That is a staple.
Staple. I'll give you a ranking.
I did not walk under it until I found out I was not graduating 4 years. Then I walked under that son of a gun all the time.
I'm going to be a horrible person. I'm going to say five on this.
I say one just because. Yeah.
I'm thinking you might be saving something for one, and I would definitely put it there.
For me, like, it was I also graduated in 4.5 years, but I waited until I graduated to walk under it. Seeing it lit up at night was awesome. You know, it was always kind of like the time where you're like, when campus is quiet and it's nighttime, and but all of a sudden you can hear the fight song playing. It was,
yep.
It was always pretty cool.
One of my memories about the bell tower is not a good one, but a friend of mine, freshman year, we used to, especially early on freshman year when we didn't know better, we'd go down to University Spirit when it was located in the Chauncey Strip, of course not there anymore. Yeah. And they would hand out, if you're a part of Pace, they would hand out, if you got there in time, these t-shirts. It would say, Boiler Up beat whoever Purdue was playing the next day in football.
Oh, yeah.
So we got down there and got the shirts for the Toledo game coming up the next day. We're walking back on campus, back to Cary Quad, and we walk past the bell tower, and he walks right under it, waving his shirt like this. He goes, if we lose tomorrow, you can blame it on me. Not only did Purdue lose Toledo, Robert Marv tore his ACL, and the rest of the season was so I've always blamed it on him, always. But last one for tonight, Slater Hill.
Okay.
Oh,
no, dang.
Dang it.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta go 5.
Do you guys sled down it?
Mm-hmm.
I went to a concert there. Like the band played, which I would have put this at 4. It was actually an enjoyable evening. Not gonna lie to you.
You get going on those lunch trays, man. Woo.
Yeah, me and a good friend Mike Rossworm, we may or may not have taken lunch trays from Wiley Dinancourt, and who's to say? I feel like statute of limitations are probably up at this point. It's been 10 years. We did that. We did whatever we could find out there. We also went to a show. We saw Red Jumps Apparatus at
Nice.
That was a shout out to Mike again. He got in the pit and actually, I think he broke his glasses. So shout out to
Mike. During face down.
Yeah, it was because that's the only song I was moshing to. So there was 2 songs everybody knew. It was that one and some.
That's the only thing I could think of was that. That's
yeah, I was trying to think of. I was thinking in my head, I'm like, what's that?
There's all the
good stuff.
I think I'm trying to think. So I had Bell Tower 1, Mall 2, Engineering Fountain 3.
Mm-hmm.
I had what was 4? The
Gateway.
Arch.
Gateway.
And then Chauncey 5. I think I'm pretty happy with that list.
Slater 5, you mean?
Slater 5.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty happy with that list.
What did you guys think I was going to pull out? You guys acted like there was one.
I'm trying to now. Actually,
Union?
Yeah.
Union, unfinished Block P. I love that one.
I wasn't that big on that one.
I like that one a lot.
Maybe it's because it's newer than the others. This way,
I mean, I Jedi Room at in Bering.
Yeah,
up there.
Hello Walk. Except I never said hello.
That's Memorial Mall. Union.
Rush Crossing. Rush Crossing.
What?
Railroad tracks.
Yeah. If you put Union on there, that would have been tough for me because I love the Union. I mean,
at Christmas, I love it. Everything. Of
course, I could have went sports and done, you know, Mackie, Rossi, Tyler Trent, Gabe, Boilermaker statue. But I almost went all different athletic facilities outside of Mackie and Rossi. Maybe I'll do that someday.
Yeah. I love the Union because of, obviously, like, I took naps in there all the time, studied all the time. Pappy, I miss Pappy's so much. I'd go there all the time. I'd study in that room next to Pappy's, and they had it.
The Stone Lion Fountain.
That one probably went in 5 because there was a whole thing like if you drink from it before a test you'll like pass, and I did that and did not do that.
I did that like 3 times. I failed it every time. Like these stupid things.
Yeah,
might have just been my incapability to do math, but I couldn't.
Honestly, I liked contrary to probably a lot of popular loop, I liked the library a lot. I went there a lot.
I about threw Neil Armstrong statue in there.
That's what I thought you were going to do. Yeah, because that would have been maybe number one on mine. I love that. I love that statue.
Heck, you could just do Purdue statues. I think they got enough, right?
Yeah, you could probably just sort of lump them all in at that point.
I don't know if you're going to do the co-rec. I don't know if you're going to do the co-rec or not.
Yeah.
I tried to make it non-sports.
Yeah. In a real fields, we got our ass kicked all the time.
Basketball.
No, I remember his disappointment when I dropped that pass. Webb's disappointment in his face, just like And then the guys just run the other way.
I don't remember that at all.
Purdue had a, we got a comment out there from Mitch. Yeah. Purdue had a library. Had a library.
Allegedly.
A couple of them, supposedly. I don't know. I don't know. But good stuff, boys.
That was a fun show.
So thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks for everybody for watching and commenting along. And if you haven't, subscribe to the Boiler Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts at. Please do so. Give us 5-star rating and review. And you can follow us on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X/Twitter at Boiler Break Pod. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that notification bell so you know when we're dropping new episodes, shorts, all that fun stuff. So let's boiler up, hammer down, and beat the fighting Illini.
Boiler up.
Boiler up.